I have a riddle. Imagine you're in a dark room with no windows and no doors, okay? How do you get out?
You light a match first.
Yeah, stop thinking about it. That's right. Thank you. Are those the people who answered that? The people I just told that joke? Oh, Hannah. Hannah knows everything. Hannah knows everything about ticks. I want to teach today on taking time to bless God. In your prayer life, God would really be blessed if you just took some time to bless him back, to thank him and to praise him. So you can go to Psalm 63. Like this holiday season, do something nice for God. I'm going to do something nice for everybody else. Bless God. Bless God with your time and with your words. You know, God is real and he loves to hear from you and he loves to hear that you love him. He loves to hear that you appreciate him. He loves to hear what you're thankful about. He loves to hear from you. He loves when you spend time with him. And it's important for a believer, a spiritual person, to spend time alone with God. Just talk things over with him. And it's not always asking him for stuff or asking him to help other people. It's like you would spend time with someone you really, really love. You know, talk things over, tell him you love him, tell him you care about him, tell him how wonderful he is. That's what he really appreciates that. And like I have said sometimes, if you some days can't do anything nice for anybody, you can always bless God. You can always bless God, especially if you speak in tongues. You can always make God's day. He really loves to hear from you. And in Psalm 63, underneath the number, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And this is talking about David. You know, David went from being like the hero of Israel. You know, when he killed Goliath, he married the king's daughter. She was hot, whatever her name was, I forget. He ate at the king's table. He was the head of the army, head of the armed guys. He was a really cool guy one day, and then Saul decided to try to kill him, so he's on the run, and he's just camping out. He goes from the king's table and the palace and all that kind of stuff to living in the wilderness, just like camping. And this is when he wrote this psalm. That's what he's talking about. If you want to read the record of what I'm talking about, it's in 1 Samuel 22 and 23. But he says, O God, verse 1, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. And that word means to break, the word early, or to break into, or to pry. Isn't it interesting? He's going to always be prying into God, you know, always be trying to know more about God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Isn't that beautiful? I just want to see you. I want to know you. My soul, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. I just want to see your power. And power is your might and your strength. And I want to see your glory. And that's just how cool you are. Joseph said to his brothers when he was in Egypt, he goes, tell my father of my glory. That's the same word. And he's talking about, you know, Joseph ran Egypt. He was the coolest guy in Egypt. He's you know, that's how cool he was. But we want to see how cool God is, all the wonderful things that God can be for people. That's what we desire to see. Verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness is God's abundant and extraordinary and faithful kindness. God is so abundantly kind, and he's always kind, he says about himself. And he just wants to see his, he's just saying, you're so kind. Have you ever said that to God? God, you are so kind. That's what he's saying. And God really loves to hear from you and hear that you love him and what you think like this. And he goes, because thy loving kindness is better than life. How'd you like to hear your boyfriend say that? Right? Trudy, your loving kindness is better than life. Well, that's what God likes to hear too. Isn't God kind? Isn't God just so sweet? Well, tell him. Spend some time and tell him. That'll really bless him. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall what? Praise thee. And praise means to express admiration or to praise highly or to express esteem. because you're just so wonderful, I'm going to just tell you how much I love you. I'm going to tell you how much I appreciate you. I'm going to thank you for those things that you've done for me. And this is David when he's in a bad place, having a bad day, having a bad year, having a, you know, in a bad place in his life. He wants to see God, and he just still tells God how wonderful he is. You know, if everything is crud in your life, God is still kind. God is constantly kind, constantly tender, constantly sweet. And you always have that in your life, the kindness of God, the goodness of God. And God just loves to hear from you. Verse 3 again, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You're going to hear from me. Thus will I bless thee while I live. Bless means to thank or to salute or even to greet with friendly words. Isn't that wild? I'm just going to, you ever think about talking to God in a friendly way? Like he's really wonderful? Like your best friend or your best father or something like that? It's to greet with a friend with friendly words. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name, and lift up thy hands here is a figure to mean, meaning to pray. So one of the things you do when you pray, it's metonymy if you want to look it up in the Bullinger thing back there, if you want to buy the biggest book in the bookstore, the Figures of Speech book, and then become intellectual, it's in there, it's called metonymy. But it means to pray. And one of the things we do when we pray is we just bless God. Thank him for stuff. Tell him how wonderful it is. Thank him for his loving kindness. Thank him that you got to be born again. Thank him that you have a nice family. Thank him that you have a roof over your head. Thank him that you have food. He loves to hear from you. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with thy marrow, and as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with what? Joyful lips. Praise here means to shine. To make to shine. And it's just like to sing anyone's praises, to celebrate. God is a God to be celebrated because he's so good and kind. You know, we have, this is like a celebration right here. We get together, we love to see each other, we're happy. Hip, hip, hooray, yay. Well, we celebrate God too. That's what praise means. And joyful is to sing or shout for joy. So here he is in this horrible situation, and he's talking to God, and when I think of you, I just sing or shout for joy. You are so wonderful, and I know I'm going to be okay. I know you're going to take care of this, even though it looks so bad. Verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I what? That was in the Manifestations. That's pretty cool, right? In the shadow of your wings, I'll rejoice. You know, Dr. Rillo wrote this little paragraph or two called A Secret to a Holy Life. And it says, the secret to a holy life is to get your eyes off your own inadequacies and onto the Father and his glory. Quit worrying about how imperfect you are or what you don't think you have or, you know, that you wish you were more better or something like that. Or don't worry that you said more better, and that's bad grammar. Don't worry about those things. It's supposed to be plus better, I think, right? Don't worry that you're plus better in every way, every day. Don't worry that you're making a fool out of yourself. Who are all of you? I don't know how I ended up living in Montana and ending up here. I don't know, no idea. The secret to a holy life is to get your eyes off of your own inadequacies and onto the Father and his glory. Now get this, our service is first and foremost to God. You know, you can help everybody in the world and organize everything in the world and, you know, always be doing stuff for people. That's not your first priority. Your first priority should be to bless God. That's what he wants from you. He wants your fellowship. You know, your companionship. Our service is first and foremost to God and with God, not always to man. To walk worthily is to walk with thanksgiving to God. You know, walk thankful to God. You know, you can be doing all sorts of stuff for people and never have a sweet thought about God or thank God for all the wonderful things he's done for you. That doesn't bless God. I mean, he's glad you're helping people, but he's concerned about you. To walk worthily is to walk with thanksgiving to God. The secret of a holy life is to walk with God first and foremost. The secret of a holy life is not the labor we do, but just to love him first and foremost. You know, just to love God first and foremost. He wants your love. And if you love somebody, you'll probably express it, right? You'll probably tell them. You probably want to spend time with them. And time with God is well worth, you know, all the time you can spend with God multiplies everything else in your life. It just takes care of so many things. The secret to a holy life is not the labor we do, but just to love him first and foremost. Then the work we do is not to be well-pleasing to him, but because we already are. We are already are well-pleasing to God. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy. Why do elephants paint their toenails red? To hide in the cherry trees. How did Tarzan get hurt? Picking cherries. Get it? Because the elephants were in there. So he probably grabbed the elephant's toe by mistake, and it fell on him. What do you call an elephant and a rhino if they got mixed together? Elephino. Who's saying all this back there? Did you learn that in Maine? Deuteronomy 32. verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Portion is a share or part. You know what God gets out of all this? You. That's what he wants, you know. Creator of the heavens and the earth, all the things he'd arranged, all the things he did through Christ Jesus so you could get born again and have spirit. What he gets out of it is you. That's what he wants. His portion is his people. I mean, what's his share of all this stuff that he's done? You. You. Look at 1 Peter 5. All right. What's the difference between a jeweler and a jailer? Come on.
What?
Wesley.
One sells time, one does time.
Good, that's good. One sells watches, one watches sells. Something like that. One watches sells, one sells watches. One watches sells, one sells watches. Okay. I'll have to make one up that nobody knows. 1 Peter 5. Sorry. I lost Peter. 1 Peter 5, my auto-turning Bible is at the shop. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. People shouldn't have to beg you to take care of God's people, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over whose heritage? We are God's heritage, and that's, once again, his portion, that which is assigned by lot, allotment or portion. And it's compared to, like, if you had inherited land or something like that, that was your portion. That's what you got. You know what God gets for everything he does? You. That's what he wants, you. Look at Ephesians 1. Just the way you are. You know, God loves you the way you are. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wanted us as his children. And good pleasure means he's being well pleased or delighted. He's delighted that you're his kid. So when God thinks of you, does he think about what's wrong with you? No. He's like those of you who have babies who haven't messed up your life yet, except ruin your sleep. Every time you think about your little kid, are you mad at them? Or maybe you're mad at them, but you love them, right? You're just delighted that they're around. And the word says God is just delighted that you're here. He's well pleased, delighted, very satisfied that you're his child. And it's the good pleasure of his will. It's what he desired, what he wished for. He wanted you to be here. He wanted you to be in his family. He wanted fellowship with you. It's what he wanted. He wanted you to be his child. And he's really pleased with you. I mean, I know we all make mistakes. We sin once in a while and stuff. But when God thinks about you, you're like the apple of his eye. He's so blessed that you exist. And he's so blessed that you care about him and that, you know, you're born again and that you are, that you're here. Look at Psalm 16. And he loves to hear from you. I mean, he loves for you to take some time for him and talk things over with him. You know, Psalm 16. What does God get out of this? You. He gets you, and he's blessed to have you in his family. And in Psalm 16, verse 5, it says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. This is once again talking about like inheriting land, only it says that what is your portion in this life? God. God is what you're supposed to get out of this life. That's the greatest thing you'll ever have in life is a relationship with God. That makes you rich. If you have a roof over your head and a relationship with God, you know, or if you're, what is it? If godliness with contentment is great gain, a relationship with God and knowing that you'll always have everything you need, that's rich. In this world, in this life, the richest people are the ones who have a relationship with God. That makes for the richest life. And to have a relationship with God, one of the things you do is you pretend he's real and you talk to him. You talk things over with him. You know I'm joking, right? You don't pretend. He is real. So I don't think you're real, but he's real. And he just loves it when you spend time with him. And if you're a spiritual person, then you talk to something you don't see, right? God, spirits, the Holy Spirit, God. That's what makes us spiritual. We believe in stuff we don't see. And to be spiritual, you spend time with God. He's what you're supposed to get out of this life. You are what he gets out of it all, and he's what you get out of it. You can have everything this world offers, but without a relationship with God, it's nothing. And in the long run, you're not that secure. You're not that blessed. But with a relationship with God, that's rich. That's rich. And a part of that is just spend time with him. Psalm 27. So this holiday season, as you're out buying gifts, what would you buy for God? I could read you verses, he'll tell you, he don't need nothing. He doesn't need anything. But you could spend some time with him. You could tell him you love him. You know, thank him for stuff he's done. You know, just thank him for his kindness. Remember his kindness. Or in Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, a Maserati 23X LZ. Never having another problem in my life. That can be arranged. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I what? Seek after. This is beautiful. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I just want to hang out with God, hang out in his house. It's a beautiful figure too. It's a beautiful picture. I just want to go to God's house and hang out with him. And we heard in the manifestations that we've been given access to God through Holy Spirit. We can go hang out with God. We have access to God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, just how wonderful he is, just to see how cool he is, how sweet he is, how kind he is, and to inquire in his temple, just to learn stuff, just to find out about him, to pry in there a little bit, see what he's all about. God wants your fellowship. Go to my page is stuck. 1 John 1. And you can run around doing a lot of stuff for a lot of people, but you need a relationship with God. Like David said in the beginning of that psalm, my soul's just so thirsty for God. If you're burnt out or if you're tired of it all, maybe you're not spending any time with God. That's what you're supposed to get out of this. Why go to Bible fellowships? You know, the people are nice, but sometimes they suck, don't they? No, not once every year or so. I'm not saying we're the greatest people in the world, but why do we go to Bible fellowships and read the Bible and listen to teachings on God? To learn about God, right? And to have a relationship with God so we can really have something going with God. If you have a relationship with God, what can be taken away from you? You could lose, you know, a ministry could fall apart. You could lose some friends. You could lose positions. You can never lose God. And God is so sweet and kind to his people. God is always there for you. He's so faithful. You can never lose him. So it's well worth having a relationship with him. And a part of that is just to be in the habit of spending time with him. Talk to him. In 1 John 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. Our fellowship is with the Father. Fellowship with the Father. You know, share your life with God. Let God be your companion, the one that you walk hand in hand with through life. It's available. It's not somebody's imagination. It's not, you know, something your parents made up or something like that. And that's what makes this life sweet. That's what makes what we do so wonderful, having this wonderful God in our lives, to walk and talk with him and knowing that he cares about you and knowing that he's doing stuff for you and that he's watching out for you and that he cares about your heart, that he's just, like I said, so kind. That's what makes you rich. That's what makes this life wonderful. People are wonderful too, but they disappoint once in a while, don't they? You know, I meet people who are always mad at other believers. Well, I guess they were taught believers are God. That's right. But only God is God, right? So it's worth it to have a relationship with God. In John 10:10, if you're always disappointed, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. And maybe it's all about the people. That's a lot of pressure to put on people to be God. To be as kind, faithfully kind as God. John 10. Guess which verse? Wrong again. No, you're right. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief is the adversary. One of the things he steals is that relationship. He steals it from you, and he steals it from God. Because God wants it just as much as you do. He steals the relationship. We can do all sorts of religious things and all sorts of activities and all sorts of really good-natured things and not have a relationship with God. The adversary steals that from people. But worse than that, he steals it from God because God wants a relationship with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to communicate with you. He's bent over backwards to make it possible. Okay, here's one. What's the first thing that God said after the fall? I know because I looked it up and wrote it down. Huh? I will kill you? He said, where are you? Where art thou? Isn't that interesting? Where are you? Look at Acts 2. No, wait. I forgot to write one down in Isaiah, but help me find it. Christina, where is it? It's in the end of Isaiah in the 50s. can't even write down the right scriptures. It's at the end. Is it at the? Oh yeah, it's 50. It's in the 50s because it's 50. Isaiah 50. You want to know how God feels? Here's an example. 50 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? God's like, hey, did we get divorced? I haven't heard from you. Isn't that amazing? Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? It's like, where'd you go? How comes no one's talking to me? I see all this religious activity, but no one's spending any time with me. No one's talking to me. Behold, for your iniquities you have sold yourself, for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? Where is everybody? Isn't that amazing? Hey, where is everybody? I see all these people with God written on them, but where are you all? Ain't no one talking to me. Ain't no one relating to me. Ain't no one, you know, sharing their life with me. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? That's how God feels about it sometimes. In Acts 2, verse 11, this always amazes me. On the day of Pentecost, when man finally got Holy Spirit, in verse 11 it says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues how to move the word over the world and organize so that everybody gets witness to. Is that what God wanted to be spoken by the Spirit the first time people spoke by the Spirit? What did God want to hear? Someone talking about how wonderful he was. That's what he wanted to hear. They didn't hear the Ten Commandments of this next generation or something like that. They didn't hear, you know, how to conduct your marriage or whatever. That's all wonderful. What did God want to hear? Because he supplied the words. What did God want to hear? Somebody saying he was good. Somebody saying he was wonderful. That's what blessed him. That's what blessed him to hear. An example would be Psalm 107. And, you know, we get all tied up with people and problems and justice and unfairness and all this other kind of stuff and forget that what we're really all about is God. And we have this wonderful, kind, faithfully kind God that wants you to spend some time with him and has made sure that you, because you're born again, you have Holy Spirit, you have total access to him. And sometimes he must be going, these guys are arguing about the Bible, and this person's mad about this, this is mad about that. They got all this stuff going on. They got all these activities. No one talked to me today, you know? No one said, I love you. They asked me for a parking spot, and I did. I moved that Volkswagen out of the way. Then they ran into the mall, and I didn't hear from them again. I was like, what's... Well, whatever. They all went to fellowship, but no one even thought of me. Well, I'm just kidding. That would never happen. It was in a comic book. Psalm 107, the wonderful works of God. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This is God talking. You know, it's like we always hear about what's wrong with people or, you know, what's right with people, weather, you know, events. God's like, look at verse 8 again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if someone would praise the Lord for his goodness? It sure would be good to hear about my goodness once in a while. How about just that I keep the world spinning? Huh? How about that you have a life at all? That you have life, soul life even. How about that you have guaranteed going to heaven, the hope? It'd be so cool to hear about. Thanks God for making us so that we enjoy our food. Thankful for food, you know. Thankful for a roof over our head. Thankful for people who love us. Oh, that's God talking. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. God satisfieth the longing soul. And that's a soul that goes back and forth and back and forth looking for some sort of security or some sort of value in their life. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, people who are all bound up because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was what? None to help. Sometimes in your life there'll be none to help. And remember what Jesus Christ said, I'm not alone. He told his disciples, you're going to all desert me, but I'm not alone because God is with me. Sometimes it'll just be God, but the good news is it's God. It's God. Look at this. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and what did he do? They got themselves in trouble. They're all screwed up. No one would help them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. How about talking about how many times God has pulled you out of stuff you've got yourself into? How many cool things he's done? He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Goodness there is the same word, kindness. He's just so kind. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. He gets people out of bondage. He gets them out of bad situations. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. You know, they get themselves in trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he what? Saveth them out of their distresses. He'll save you over and over and over again, and you know he has. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of what? Just thank him for stuff. That's what he likes. You don't need to sacrifice a cow or something like that. Just thank him for stuff. And declare his works with what? Like Jerry said, laugh once in a while. Have some joy. You can always have joy when you think about our wonderful God. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's quite a contrast. Now look at this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to whom? That's what God likes. You're just singing to God. You're making melody in your heart to God. You just love God. And when you think about God, it makes you happy. It makes you blessed. It makes you thankful. In Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what?
Grace.
Grace in your heart to who? And that means that you're kind of like him too. We know grace is like he kind of likes you for no reason. He just likes you. Well, how about you just let God know you like him? You're inclined to him. You really love him. Luke 12. Luke. Anybody go see the thing yet? You did? How did you get in? I thought it was all sold out for 3 days or something. Maybe God helped you. Luke 12. Is it worth it? Really? I was talking about the movie with those two ladies in it where they play sisters. What's that one called?
Sisters.
Yeah, sisters. Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Yay! And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I have so much stuff. Yay! And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Yay! And I will say to my soul, I'll be talking to myself, and I'll say, soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Now you can finally take it easy. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, you fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You're not going to enjoy any of them. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And I just want to have this be an emphasis. And is not rich towards who? Be rich towards God. Be rich towards God. You know, do a lot with God. Have a lot of your life being about a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Go to Psalm 117. This psalm might surprise you. Look at it. Did you ever know that was in there?
Yeah.
It's one verse. No, one. Because there's no, every the whole Bible is one verse because there was no numbers in the original Bible. Okay? No periods, no commas. So it's all one verse. Thank you. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. You know, praise the Lord. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. He's so merciful. He's so kind. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye what?
The Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right? So take some time to bless God. Okay? Okay. That's the end of this teaching.